Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I'm excited about tonight's topic. John chapter 14, we're going to read several verses here, and I want you to get your Bibles out. If you mark in your Bible, you might want to get a pen ready. I'm going to have you mark certain words, and I'm going to be defining a few things and helping you tonight. Tonight, I'm talking about the topic of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. The Holy Spirit, our Comforter. And I think this will be a blessing to you. And by the way, some of you have been in church a long time and you say, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's there. He'll give you peace. He'll make you feel good. It has nothing to do with comfort. And this will change your life. Here we go. John chapter 14. Let's read in verse 16 together. Sorry. And I will pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter. Notice the word another and comforter is capitalized. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, capital S, of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, skip down to verse number 26. But the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, listen to me very carefully, and I think I can help you tonight. The first part of John chapter 14 is very interesting. You know this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again, receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, Jesus is talking about heaven. And here he is, 33 years old, telling his disciples, I'm about to die. He said, I'm going to a place. Let me tell you about the place I'm going to. And he gets them ready for his coming death. Now, these men look at a young man who is healthy and doesn't look like he's ready to die. They see no need for him to die. But they've enjoyed being around him. They've enjoyed seeing the power of God on his life. They've enjoyed the blessing of God in their life because of how God was blessing Jesus. Now listen to this. They even left their businesses. They left all of their businesses to follow him. They left the security of a paycheck to live by faith and to walk with Jesus everywhere he went for 3.5 years. And now he's about to die. Jesus tells them, all that he's going to do for them after he leaves. Now, listen, he talks about heaven. He talks about some of the things that are there. He talks about what's going to be awaiting them. And all of that. And they're happy for him to go to a place like that, but they're not settled with themselves. They're a bit distressed. I've sat beside the bedside of many a folk who were in the process of going to heaven. And they were at a certain point where if they stayed alive, it was going to be worse for them than it would be if they just went to heaven. That's not a fun place to be. But it's hard to let them go. But when you finally let them go and they go, there's a little bit of peace that follows because of that. Now, Jesus tells them that he will not leave them comfortless. I want you to notice that. He said that he would not leave them. I will not leave you, verse number 18, comfortless. He said, I will come to you. Now I want you to notice something. He says also, I will leave you another comforter. Verse 16. Now I want you to notice something. The word another. That means you'll have me as well as someone else. So he said, you've got me in the flesh right now. But I'm going to leave someone for you, And there'll be another person to comfort you. Now, that's very interesting. Listen to me very carefully. He tells us that this comforter will not only come to them, will not only visit them, but I want you to look at verse number 16 again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but, watch this, ye know him, for he dwelleth or liveth with you and shall be in you. Then we find out, verse 26, that comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do you realize if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have Jesus as a comforter and you have the Holy Spirit as a comforter? Not only that, Jesus has left you, but the Holy Spirit does not leave you the moment you get saved. He not only will come to you and dwell with you, he is in you. I've said this a couple times, and some of you kind of look at me like a calf looking at a new gate, but when you get saved, Jesus does not come into your heart. The Holy Spirit does. You receive what Jesus Christ did for you, but your spirit is reborn, regenerated by the Spirit of God, and it is he that dwelleth in you, and that is what Jesus himself said. Okay, everybody doing all right? All right, here we go. Now, we're going to change gears just for a second to get to where we're going tonight. Mankind has been flawed by sin. Do you realize that every human being has been flawed by sin? This means, now, this may be the most important statement I make tonight. Listen to me very carefully. This means that the giving and the receiving of comfort is flawed. Because we're all sinners, our giving of comfort is flawed, as well as our ability to receive comfort is flawed. When a man looks to a fellow sinner for comfort, he is destined to be disappointed. If you look to another human being to give you all your comfort, you will be disappointed. You will be comfortless at some stage of your life. In Job chapter 16, verse number 2, we won't take time to turn there, but the Bible says that miserable comforters are ye all. God was recording what Job was saying, and his three friends had come to him to bring him comfort. I'm going to make a statement here. You can go back and read it again as I have. I do not think initially that Job's friends were trying to criticize Job. I think they were trying to encourage him. I don't know if Job's friends were flawed by sin to the point where they did not help him, or if Job was so overcome and flawed by sin that he did not receive their comfort well. Have you ever read the first 15 chapters of Job? Especially those 4 or 5 chapters from chapter 10 to chapter 16. And then you read, miserable comforters are you all, and you're thinking, why did Job say that? It could be that Job didn't receive it right. It might not be that they intended to hurt him. Have you ever considered that? Now, let me ask you a question. Could it be that they were both flawed by sin? Now, the fact is, Jesus promised his disciples another comforter. And he tells us who that comforter is by saying it is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, dwells inside the believer. Now, listen to this. He is there for you then, and at any time can and will help you learn how to deal with all of the problems and all of the grief needed to have the comfort necessary for your life. I'm going to make a statement here. I watch people get disgruntled at church. Well, you helped this person this way, and when I had a need, you didn't help me that way. You're proving to me that you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because you are flawed by your sin on how you want to be comforted. Now, hang in there. Let me remind you, comfort is a two-way street. And comfort is complicated due to our sin. Listen to this. Not just the comforter is a sinner, but the one being comforted is a sinner. Here's the next most important statement I'm going to make all night. Actually, the reason you need comfort is sin. Before there was sin, there was no need of comfort because there was no grief over sin. So the very fact that you want comfort is due to sin or the results of sin. Everybody doing all right? This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Just as God gave us Jesus. Did you ever notice that God said God will provide himself a lamb? He did provide himself. It doesn't mean just he himself will provide it. He provided himself as the lamb. He also said, I'll go to the Father and he will send somebody in my name and he is me, and that's the Holy Ghost. He's part of the Trinity. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Now, he's given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Now, listen to this. Due to the results of sowing and reaping of sin, listen to this. Can I tell you why he had to send the Holy Spirit? Jesus died as your lamb. He paid the price for your sin. The Father can't even look at your sin. He does not see your sin. Matter of fact, he doesn't record your sin if you're saved. It's not even there to him. So he had to send the Holy Spirit to take care of the comforting part because God the Father doesn't see it. Man, that's a wonderful thought. Now, let me give you three or four points here tonight. 3 points and no poem, amen? And if you'll listen to me, I really do believe I can help you. You're going to need your Bible here in a second. Point number one, the word comforter is the same word as the word advocate. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to show you something here that will totally turn your head inside out. Brother Joe, that doesn't mean the inside of your head has hair either. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Wow. Now, look at me. The word advocate, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E. It is the word in Greek, which is the word paraclete or parakletos. Okay? Not parakeet, paraclete. Okay? It's not a little bird that flips around and tweets around. It is the word paraclete. It means legal aid or one that runs to your side to help. Jesus is your attorney, your legal advocate, that when you have sinned, he has run to the Father and he pleads your case before the Father as the devil accuses you of your sin. He is the one who paid the price, shed his blood, and has the right as your attorney to stand there and plead your case before the Father. And the devil comes up here. Brother Smith, you come here. And let's see, I need a devil. Brother York, come on over here. We've got the sinner and we've got the devil. This is cast very well. The devil comes to God the Father and says, hey, did you hear what Matt Smith did? And he starts telling me about how he's beating his wife and everything else. It's not true. She beats him. West Virginia women, amen. Then the Bible says that Jesus stands before the Father and says, Father, it's under the blood. What's on his record? Father, what do you see on his record? The father looks down and says, all I see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ on Matt's account. Devil, I don't know what you're talking about, but there's nothing been recorded. And Jesus says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He can't be condemned for it because it's already been paid for. I already took care of that, God. You can't listen to the devil because it's already been cared for. He's accepted what I did. The price has already been paid and there can't be any condemnation. And the devil goes back and goes away with his tail between his leg, and he's okay. I'm glad I was not watching that. Told you I picked the right devil. Now, the word paraclete, that's what Jesus does. He runs to the side of the Father on our behalf in heaven to claim the legality of your salvation. Now watch this. But the word comforter is the word parakletos. It is the same word. And the Holy Spirit, watch this one. Stand up again, sinner. The Holy Spirit is the one, as Jesus is in heaven, refuting the devil, the Holy Spirit then runs to your side. And watch this. He represents you on earth. He said, it's okay. Did you realize Jesus already paid for it? Did you realize that before the Father in heaven right now, he says, there ain't no sin there. You ain't got nothing to worry about, bud. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He assures you that the confidence of whatever's going on, it's already cared for in heaven. You don't have nothing to worry about. Thank you. Now watch this. There's another part of this. The Holy Spirit, because he dwells in each believer, has the ability to guide and direct others who can comfort you. Let me show you what I mean. Stand back up here, sinner. All of a sudden... No, you ain't Catholic. You ain't up and down on your knees, amen? He has a need, and the Holy Spirit's already come to him. I was going to use you, but your wife is saved. I'm going to pretend Brother Gus is saved. Come on. And I'm going to say, hey, Brother Smith has a need, and he needs you to help him right now. And I want you to go up there, and I want you to go help him. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Watch me, not them. Good night. Yeah, he needs a couple of those. One under each arm. Hold them real tight till they meld. Amen. Thank you. You can both have a seat. Can I tell you something? That's what the Holy Spirit can do. He can guide another believer because the same Holy Spirit's in him that's in him. And he can guide another believer to help meet the need. Say, well, he didn't bring one my way. Maybe you weren't yielding to the one that was in you. So sometimes he personally comforts. Sometimes he brings someone else your way to comfort you. But either way, he works as your advocate here on earth. While his counterpart, God the Son, works as an advocate on your legal defense in heaven. They are the same term. The Holy Spirit will run to your side. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you are looking for the Holy Spirit to lead somebody else when he wants to talk to you personally. Some of you are looking for one with skin on when God said, here I am. Why didn't you talk to me? Now, this is where you'll really get mad. Here we go. Number two, real comfort is based on truth, not feeling. Real comfort is based on truth, not feeling. Look at your Bible, John chapter 14. Back to our text tonight, John chapter 14. And you are going to use your Bible here in the book of John two or three more times. Look at verse number 17. Even the Spirit, capital S or small s? If you have the right Bible, it's capital. Okay? Even the Spirit of truth. Huh? The Spirit of truth. Look at John chapter 15. Look at verse number 26. Famous verse. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Wow. So God says it is a Spirit of truth. Look at John chapter 17. We're going to look at one other verse here. Look at verse number 17. You ready? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Say it again. Thy word is what? Truth. Wow. Now, the Bible is truth. That's why the battle over the Word of God is so important. If there is not an every word Bible somewhere, we have no truth. By the way, Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And on his vesture is written his name, the Word, the truth of God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit cannot lead opposite of the Word of God. It's impossible. Amen. It is diabolically impossible for the Holy Spirit to lead outside the pages of that book. When people come and say, well, preacher, I believe the Spirit's leading me to do, I say, where can we find it in the Bible? If we can't, it's not the Holy Spirit. Say, you don't have a right to say that. Yes, I do. Because God said the Spirit of truth and thy word is truth. By the way, he represents Jesus, who is the truth and the word of God. By the way, let's just bring it down to where we live. The Holy Spirit does not lead by emotionalism. The charismaniacs who flip and flop all over the ground say, oh, I got it. I don't know what they got, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I have a feeling it just needs to come out, whatever it was that went in. By the way, the modern tongues movement, that is all emotionalism. It is not truth. Oh, I'm speaking in a heavenly language and only God understands. And that is outside the scripture or the truth of the Word of God. And it is not real. It's as phony as Bill Clinton and Barack Obama put together. That's pretty phony. The healings, the faith healings. I grew up in the Canton, Akron area. There used to be a guy back in the 70s. How many of you remember Ernest Angley? Y'all know who I'm talking, little fat guy with the weird suits, you know. And he'd have people come up and he'd say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he'd slap them in the head and they'd hit the floor. Oh, I'm healed. Oh, my soul. Oral Roberts. I think the funniest thing, these morons, Oral Roberts is a faith healer and he built a multi-million dollar hospital. Why do you need a hospital if you can heal people? Think through that one once, folks. Let's just put the jelly down on the bottom shelf. You ready? Here we go. That's why churches are turning to modern style music in their churches. Do you know that you're not to listen to music for you? Your music is to be for God, not for you. Your music isn't to soothe your conscience, to make you have some feeling. Your music is to get you to praise and worship your God. Well, I listen to this when I'm sad, and I listen to this when I'm happy, and I listen to this when I'm depressed. And what are you doing? You're taking drugs. You're just taking it through your ears instead of through your mouth or through your veins. Your music is not for you. Your music is for God. That's why we have churches that are going to the contemporary styles. They're going to the honky-tonk junk. They're going to the highbrow garbage. They're going to the classical style. Gag. One of these days we're going to have a choir, but we ain't having no robes. We ain't Catholic and we ain't denominational. And it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I make any man wear a dress. And any man wearing a dress that walks through that door, fellas, you better beat the snot out of him. Do it behind the church, not out front, though, all right? And I did not say that. Then, by the way, that's why we have churches that have gone to drama. Oh, I just love the dramas. Let's bring them to church and let's watch all these dramas. And oh, it just moves me and stirs me. But where's the Holy Ghost? I'm not saying it's wrong to go see something like that, but if you're doing that and missing preaching, something's wrong. Yes. I hate to say this. I never thought I'd ever say this, but in fundamental, quote unquote, in Baptist churches, they're now having praise and worship services. Can I tell you why they got to have a praise and worship service? Because they don't know the Holy Ghost. No such thing in Scripture. Anywhere. Everybody doing all right? Might as well get everybody mad. Group therapy. Oh, we need group therapy. Okay, here we go. I'm going to name names. Everybody ready? Get your pens out. Write it down. Reformers Unanimous is of the devil, not of God. It's modern 10-step program with a Christian name to it. You don't group therapy people that are in sin. You don't take four whoremongers and put them in the same room of opposite gender and say, oh, let's all hug each other and talk about how bad we feel. And as soon as you're done with the meeting, guess what they're out doing? Same thing with drunkards. Say, what do they need? They need the Holy Ghost of God. They don't need group therapy. We don't need a group hug. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. By the way, what feels good, listen to this statement. What feels good at first for emotions may not be comfort or best. What makes your emotions feel good may not be what you need. Okay, let me show you what I mean. I'll use an illustration my secretary and I talked about once recently. Eating chocolate ice cream is okay for your emotions. But if you're eating chocolate ice cream instead of paying your bills, you can feel good about not paying your bills, but your problem just got worse. I know paying the bills don't make you feel good. But they are good for you as long as you pay them. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
My wife contracted strep throat in the last week, and it was not a good situation. I mean, her throat was just about totally closed off. She got there, doctor said, boy, your blood pressure's up. The doctor looked down her throat and said, my blood pressure's up looking down your throat. It was pretty bad. Now, wait a minute. Did you ever see the antibiotics they give you for strep throat when you can't swallow? You know, the pills are about that big. She had to take four of them puppies at one time. She couldn't even swallow spit, let alone swallow something that big. Now, wait a minute. The remedy did not feel good. Listen to this. But once she got the medication in, guess what? It made it good. Truth does not always feel good, but it will give you a long-lasting comfort you're looking for. By the way, you say, well, preacher, you just don't have any emotions at all. You don't know me then. I have as many emotions as everybody else does. I just don't run my life by my emotions. I'll run my life by the word of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Say, well, doesn't God care? Yes, he does. But I want you to show you how he cares. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know what that verse says? That says that Jesus faced every emotion you face. But he did not let his emotions decide what he did. He let truth decide what he did. When he let truth decide what he did, he faced Calvary. But guess what? We had comfort because he did not listen to his emotions. Everybody doing all right? Real comfort is applying truth to the problem, not making you feel squishy now. Last week, my wife and I sat down with a lady who has a brain tumor. She showed me the pictures of the CAT scan. There's a 1.6 inch by 1.6 inch by 2 inch tumor in her head. I didn't have my wife go over and put her arm around her and say, oh, I just happen to believe everything's going to be all right and God's just going to take it away and you can feel better now. That's called lying. I said, wow, you're right. You got one. She said, oh yeah, I can even feel it now that I know what it is. I said, how can I help you? We began to talk. Guess what? Through the process, we both discovered it's very fixable. And she's contacted me, and they have about a 96% success rate with surgery on these. She probably won't even have to have radiation or chemo afterwards. But there's a chance she might. And I said, good. Then what are you going to do if you have to? She said, going to have half my hair gone anyway. What's losing the rest of it for a little while? Make sure this thing doesn't come back. You know, I respect that. I didn't just say, oh, it's all going to be okay. You see, why lie to somebody just to make them feel good? We got to face the problem. Ice cream and chocolate may make you feel good, but it doesn't fix any problems. It may add to the problem. Now, here we go. Last point. Are you ready? Number three. The Holy Spirit is given to us to console us. The word paraclete also means the word console. C-O-N-S-O-L-E. That does not say counsel. It says console. Now, the word console or the word consolation means cheer, to make up for the loss or disappointment of, or to relieve distress. Let me say that again. It means to cheer, to make up for the loss or disappointment of, or to relieve distress. You know, I've had to console my family and even myself in recent days. My 96-year-old grandma's on the nursing floor. She's no longer going to ever live by herself this side of heaven, probably. They had to go back and go through all of her things as though she was already dead. Divide things up while she's alive. And everybody, oh, good night, 15 more years ago, said, Grandma, we're not going to do this unless we absolutely have to. Well, guess what? We absolutely had to. For her sake. Say, are you depressed about it? No. No, I'm not happy. I'm not depressed. I'm happy she's getting the care she needs. I thank God she's got people helping her with everything she does. It used to take her 45 minutes to tie her shoes. Now she didn't have to tie her shoes. Somebody does it for her. It used to take her 2 hours to get dressed in the morning. Man, they help her now. 5-10 minutes, she's done. Wham! She's got 2 hours to rest. Amen? You say, you make that sound so simple. What's best for her? Not what do I want. Now listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit runs to our side or sends someone to us with a truth that can help you. Real consolation means you don't just feel good, but you have a way to have a solution out of the problem you're in. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read a passage of scripture here to you. And I want you to understand the word console and the word consolation are all the same word, just different use of the same word. You ready? Let's start reading in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch this, and the God of all what? Okay, the God of all what? Comfort. Wow. God said he is the God of all comfort. By the way, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, our comforter. Watch this, verse number 4. Who's it talking about? God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Watch this. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. Oh, God said sometimes your affliction, your heartache, your burden, your trial, your pain, your agony comes so that the Holy Spirit can bring you comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation or the comforting. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us for so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Wow. God said there's times where you should even be dying, and God's giving you comfort that you need. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible says we endured suffering by the consolation of the Holy Spirit as Christ did for your salvation. How many of you have ever been around a man named Jerry Lowther? How could a guy that suffers so much bring so much comfort to you? It's called the Holy Spirit. Through his suffering, watch this, through his suffering, he has found the consolation, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's hurting worse than any human being in this room, and he's bringing you comfort. I was texting back and forth with him yesterday, and a little bit of tough news from his doctors. And I said, Brother Jerry, I said, I'm going to say something I don't often say, but I'm going to say it. I said, I got big plans for you. I said, I plan on hiring you one day to do my sick and shut-in and hospital visitation. I said, I ain't giving up, and neither are you. I got a text back. He said, I could do that. I said, I know you can. He said, I went from grieving to rejoicing. I said, you better go back to grieving because you don't know how much work I got planned for you. Now, wait a minute. You say, were you given false hope? No, I have one day. I want to hire Jerry Lowther to go visit in the hospitals and the sick and the shut-in all over this place. I don't know anybody could do a better job than he could.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Say, what was that? That was a little bit of comfort, too. It comforted him to know there's something he can do. By the way, there's a lot he can do. He can do more being down than most of us can being up. Do you realize what Jesus suffered for you? I wrote a very quick list. I'm almost done. Listen to this. He left a perfect heaven that had no pain and no sorrow. He had to leave his home and leave his family. He left all of the wealth of God. He lived here to be rejected by the people he created. He suffered the pain of sin without ever having sinned. He traded golden streets of heaven for the nasty dirt of earth and the defilement coughed up in the throats of evil soldiers in his face. He was accused of wrong when he never even had a wrong motive. He left all of the angels and servants in heaven who once served him to serve a sinful creation that now hated him. By the way, he had in him the power to stop it all at any moment. Now you think about what Jesus went through for you. I'm not even talking about the pain. I'm talking about just some of the problems he faced. And guess what? It is the Holy Spirit that resurrected him from the grave. It was the Holy Spirit that got Jesus through all that. Now listen to this very carefully and I'm done. One day, right now, the wrath of God is being held off on earth. Can I tell you why? The believers. Because the Holy Spirit still is here. Once the Holy Spirit is removed at the rapture, you say, why would the Holy Spirit be removed at the rapture? Because we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit of God. That's when 7 years of hell cut loose on earth. God is holding that back until the very moment the Holy Ghost is taken away. Once the Holy Ghost is taken away, God's hand of judgment will not be stayed from this earth any longer. Can I tell you something? The same Holy Spirit who comforted Jesus is the same Holy Spirit you got when you got saved. Sometimes he'll comfort you personally. Sometimes he'll send somebody your way. Sometimes you're going to struggle a while. Well, I just don't understand why God. Who said you were God? Brother Gus, never found one verse to where God said, understand me. Not one. But Brother Jimmy, I found hundreds that say, trust me. Trust me. You're not going to understand. Just trust me. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit cannot lead outside truth. Cannot. Well, I believe God wants me to sell everything I have and give it to the Salvation Army and go live in the desert with no clothes and no food and God's going to protect me. You're an idiot. You say, well, I'm going to live by faith. There's a fine line between faith and foolish, and that's foolish. Faith is following a truth. Foolish is following something other than truth. Well, I believe that God wants me to leave my husband and go do this for God. No, God doesn't want you to leave right to go do another right. Everybody doing all right? You'd be surprised what people tell me. You would be shocked. Say, you think you're good? Nope. I need the same Holy Spirit you need. I need the same comfort you need. I have the same problems you have. I have car payments, house payments, utility bills, 3 children. I got it. We've got the health problems, doctor bills, strep throat, amen. I face the dark days. I'm not real smart, but my dad's 75 years old. My mom's not far behind. I know what that means. I only got them for about another 20 years. My mom don't kill my dad first. now, wait a minute. I know what that means. I'm nobody's fool. Folks, you're not spinning out here by yourself. Just because I might not put my arms around you and say, oh, let's have a warm, fuzzy feeling and sing Kumbaya. Well, you don't feel anything. And boy, I don't like him. He doesn't use any emotion. No, but sometimes the medicine doesn't taste good, but you need it. I never had a shot that I said, oh, that feels wonderful. I've had some things in a shot that made me feel that way, but the shot didn't feel that way. What do they call that? Dilata for a kidney stone. Glory to God. Bring it on. Amen. It's the only. I don't know that you don't feel the pain, but you don't care. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We all have problems, but guess what? You got the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit of God who is there to comfort. And if you yield to him, do you know what I have found out? Often he sends somebody else your way to give you more comfort. Sometimes they even have skin on them. And that's to the person that's listening. But comfort can be flawed because you're a sinner and because the person trying to give you comfort is a sinner. Or the person you're giving comfort to is a sinner and you're a sinner. If you're only looking to people with skin on for comfort, you will be disappointed. And the reason you needed the comfort anyway was because you're a sinner. Why go to somebody else who is a sinner? Who can't help you? Why not go to the one that can, who dwells in you, the Holy Spirit, our comforter. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize that was a bit heavy. I also realize it may be one of the most important truths you'll ever hear as a Christian. As a saved child of God, this would keep people from getting whacked out in church.